The year began with a debate on a feedlot moratorium and is ending with disagreements over who said what about family farms.
What I want to know is, and I'm sure I'm going to get 8 different answers, what is a family farm?
That question at a farm event near Redwood Falls in August touched off one of the more combative exchanges between the DFL and Republican gubernatorial candidates. Here's how Republican Norm Coleman answered the question at Farm Fest.
Family farms change. I talked to a state senator from southern Minnesota, and he told me when his grandfather was farming a family farm, he may have had, you know, 15, 20 head. And when his dad farmed, it was something else. He's farming today. The definition of family farm is really, first of all, we don't have corporate farm. We don't allow it in Minnesota. So that when two brothers and a sister get together and they have a large operation, that's still a family farm. That's still a family farm. Family farms really, in the end, become what you define it, what you need to support you and your family. And it's not just about that, you know, this image of what the family farm was and that we're going to save it defies economic reality. We compete in a world marketplace.
The answer was paraphrased in news accounts as, Coleman said trying to save the traditional family farm doesn't make sense in a global economy. DFL gubernatorial candidate Skip Humphrey jumped on the newspaper version, saying it proved Coleman was out of touch with family farmers. The DFL party and the Humphrey campaign then repeated the charge in TV and radio ads.
I've worked this farm for 40 years, and now my son does too. It's a good, honest way to make a living. I saw in the paper that Norm Coleman said that saving the Minnesota family farm in the new global economy doesn't make sense. If you ask me, Norm Coleman doesn't make sense.
Coleman said the Humphrey campaign was lying about his position on family farms. He asked for an investigation and responded with his own ad.
This is Dwight Hasselquist, dairy farmer. This governor's race is going to decide the future of rural Minnesota, and we need straight talk from our candidates. We're not getting it from Skip Humphrey. I heard Norm Coleman talk at FarmFest, and the Fargo Forum is right. Quote, Humphrey is allowing his campaign to all but lie about Coleman's stand on family farming.
The argument caught farmers' attention. Warren Moss farms in west central Minnesota. He's not sure who he will vote for, but says it will not be Norm Coleman.
Well, like you said, the family farmer is passed. Maybe he got caught off guard, but then he did say it, so sometimes they say what they feel.
Other farmers, though, agree with Coleman that his comments were misrepresented. Coleman's supporter, Lyndon Olson, farms near Worthington in southwest Minnesota. He says the St. Paul mayor may not have spoken as clearly as he should have, but that he's right when he says the family farm is changing.
What he meant was that family farms are not going to survive the way they were in the past. Family farms will survive, but we have to look at what tools and how they're going to be set up in order to compete and survive in the future.
The high-stakes fight over who's family farm friendliest may seem like overkill, considering that farm families make up only a little over 4% of the state's population. But farming can be an issue that transcends numbers. The candidates are trying to reach not only farmers, but also those who are sympathetic to farmers and what they represent. In a time of constant change, the farm is a red, white, and blue American icon.
It reflects an emphasis on family, an emphasis on community, an emphasis on values, and that's significantly important.
Chris Gilbert chairs the political science department at Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter. He says a candidate's position on the family farm plays well not only in the agricultural L, but also in urban areas. That's because many people there have a connection with the state's farm economy. It might be something direct. Maybe they grew up on a farm or had a parent or grandparent who did. Or it could be something more roundabout, such as a love of the land.
You drive across the countryside, across the state highway or whatever, and you see nice blowing farm fields. I think people want to think that it's people like themselves who are tending those fields and who have this sense of closeness to nature and things like that.
Gilbert says playing the farm issue to urban voters usually means simplifying the issue to one idea. I'm for the family farm, my opponent is not. That approach works less well in farm areas. Farmers want to know where a candidate stands on the family farm question, but also want details. West Central Minnesota farmer Warren Moss says his vote will be based on pure economics.
Basically, I want to vote my pocketbook, and I'm going to vote for the one that's most favorable to the farmer.
He says while it's mainly federal government that's involved in agricultural policy, state government also plays a role through things like taxes and business climate. He leans DFL, but he's no big fan of either party when it comes to farm policy.
They both sold us down the river, more or less. Politicians do represent all of us. If they're not willing to represent the main industry to see to it that it flourishes, well, then it's our responsibility to elect candidates that do take that into accord.
That sort of reasoning is an open door for a third party, and Jesse Ventura walked right through it. Ma says he likes the Reform Party candidate for what he is not.
He's not a lawyer.
Ma says he's most likely to vote for DFLer Skip Humphrey, but has not made up his mind. Still, he likes some of Ventura's positions. He supports his call for a temporary moratorium on feedlot construction and loves Ventura's I'm for the little guy persona. Reform Party candidate Ventura says the most important thing the next governor can do to help farmers is lower taxes and reduce the size of government.
What I want to do for farmers is I want to make sure that the breaks, if those breaks are going to be there to help survive, goes to the family farmer. And when I mean family farmer, I mean the guy who's out there getting dirty, the guy who's actually lives and needs that farm for his or her livelihood. And I don't want to see, right now you've got absentee landowners are the reapers of these benefits too, where they earn money doing other things and simply they're wealthy, they buy up farmland, they have someone else farm it for them, and they reap benefits that the family farmer should get.
The biggest hurdle Ventura must clear with farmers is convincing them he's more than just a protest candidate, that he can actually win. All of the candidates are working hard to win the farm vote. DFLer Humphrey says if he's elected, he'll push for property tax relief.
I called on the governor to call a special session of the legislature after November 3rd, because I don't think the politics should play into this. But it's terribly important that we postpone the payments, the November 15th payments of taxes to our operating farmers, those property taxes, and we ought to forgive them. Particularly in the areas where there is such devastation. I mean, these farmers have been hit by, think of this, they've been hit by bad weather, they've been hit by disease in their crops, and they've been hit by global low prices. And so we need to help them at least have cash in their hands so that they can begin planning for next year's planting season.
Governor Carlson has rejected Humphrey's call for a special session. Humphrey also supports a temporary moratorium on certain large livestock feedlots until a state feedlot study is finished. Republican Norm Coleman opposes that. Coleman also wants a property tax break for farmers as part of a four-point program.
First, have the safety net, which we have, $150 million on the table for first half 99 farm property taxes. Secondly, be an advocate for fair and free trade so farmers can sell their product. Three, make sure that we don't kill growth in this state with things like moratorium. And then support value-added opportunities, which means don't roll back workers' comp, because no one's going to build processing plants or ethanol plants if the cost of doing business in Minnesota is substantially higher than Iowa, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota.
Southwest Minnesota farmer Lyndon Olson likes that approach. His main concerns with the farm economy are not local, but global. He says one of the best things a governor can do is lobby federal officials about farm legislation.
The governor will help our representatives to Congress understand what these things mean to the rural economy. We have so many of our members of Congress that are not really familiar with what is going on in the farm economy and the trade worldwide.
Hunting for votes in the agricultural L, the candidates have found out what the letter stands for. Farming can be a love affair, a lottery, or a letdown. Sometimes it's just plain luck, but above all, it's life. On election night, the candidates will discover another meaning of the agricultural L. For one, it could spell leader. For the rest, something harsher. This is Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio.